Okay, our text this morning, we're going to read from Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. It's on the handout sheet. Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. And once again, reading in Jesus' name, if you would stand for the reading of the word. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Lord, we thank you for this morning. And once again, we just thank and praise you for each one here this morning. And also, if there are those joining us via Zoom, we welcome them this morning as well. Now, Lord, I just pray that you'll open this text to us and that the words of my mouth will be pleasing to you. And Lord, we just commit this time to you. In your name, amen. I guess the title this morning would be "The Risk of Obeying God." You know, when Peter, we look at this thing with Peter, and you know, Peter is one of my favorite subjects or people in Scripture because we can relate to Peter a lot of times. You know, he didn't, even though he was a committed follower of Christ, he had his doubts, he had his failings, and we just want to look at Peter here a little bit then about the events that are told in this story. And Gennesaret, I believe, is also the Sea of Galilee, just a different name. And there's a region there that is, it's a fertile plain along the coast of the Sea of Galilee. And, you know, we know that salvation is a free gift and it's available to anyone who will accept that gift. But along with that gift, you know, part of receiving that gift is also surrendering. And I've mentioned before, we see people who take their salvation somewhat lightly. It's like, well, I made that step. Now I'm taken care of. I can just go on living as I choose, because salvation is mine. But we are called to not only accept the gift, but to surrender ourselves to the giver of that gift. You know, in the Christian life, it's full of different challenges, and not only challenges, but different joys and different, you know, we get benefits. We experience the grace of God. We experience the peace of God. There's a sense of assurance, and we have security in Christ. But, and as I ask, when we take communion, do we really believe? Are we taking it seriously? And are we willing to, I guess the term could be, to sell out totally to Christ and let him guide our lives? And I guess there are risks we have to take if we are truly following him. And I'm just going to kind of go through this scripture in two or three different, or maybe four different sections. I'm going to read verse 1 again. So it was, as a multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And, you know, we read in chapter 4 about the miracles he did. And evidently, if the book of Luke is chronological, evidently Peter was more than likely there when, in just a few verses before in Luke, when he healed his mother-in-law. So Jesus, I'm guessing, was known to Peter. And Peter knew who he was, and he had seen a miracle take place. But Jesus was, you know, the multitude was pressing about him. Jesus had performed these miracles, and, you know, his ministry on earth was just beginning. As we go back even earlier in Luke 4, you know, he had been, in that chapter at the beginning, he had been tempted by the devil, you know, just after his baptism by John the Baptist. All these things were happening, I believe, fairly quickly. And the word was getting out. This guy is doing stuff that we've never seen before. And it drew crowds. And the crowd, the multitude, was pressed about him. And he wasn't just doing miracles. He was also preaching and teaching. And I believe that if God is going to move among us, we need the teaching. We need the fellowship together with one another. And Colossians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The message, there's power in that message, and are we sharing that message with those around us? And we can preach and teach by our behaviors. You know, the things that Christ did drew people to hear his preaching. And are the things that we're doing in our everyday lives, are they drawing people to the preaching and teaching? 1 Corinthians 1, going further in that chapter, 23 and 24, "But we preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." We preach Christ. We preach the power of God and the wisdom of God. And after seeing what Jesus was doing and hearing about him, the crowd pressed forward to hear what he had to say. And I think that as the crowd pressed near to hear more preaching, Jesus needed to get out further somewhere where they couldn't just, you know, kind of mass around him. He wanted to have something where he could stand and preach and others could see him as well. Or sit, I guess it says he sat in a boat. Psalm 73:28 says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God." These people wanted to get as close as they could. "I've put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works." And going on later in Psalms, Psalm 145:18, "The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth." And we are encouraged to want to learn more about God, to hear these things again. Nothing that I ever say up here, I don't think it's ever anything new. There's things, but there are things that we need to think about and things we need to hear, and and things that we need to dwell on again and again. So do you have the attitude of wanting to learn more about Jesus and to be reminded of what he has done? And then we go on to verses 2 and 3. And saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And I, you know, there's a lot of things that go into this that I don't always think about. And doing a little bit of studying and research, I've seen some things mentioned that I never thought of. You know, Peter was one of the fishermen who was washing their nets. They'd been out fishing all night long, and they're getting ready to pack it in for the day. And here comes Jesus, and he wants to use his boat, and says, "Well, I'm done for the day." And so, but he obeys. I'm guessing that Peter had a pretty good idea of what Christ was all about, as we learned before. He had just healed his mother-in-law in verses before this. And Jesus didn't force Peter to obey. He asked, and he asked him to put out a little ways from the land so the multitudes could see him better. And he taught from there. And sound carries better over water. Have you noticed that? And, you know, maybe that was part of it. You know, they didn't have this microphone set up and all this stuff. I wonder what kind of voice Jesus had so all these people could hear him. I mean, it's things you think about. And as I mentioned, it might have been a little inconvenient for Peter. I mean, if they had been fishing all night, like the scripture says, he was tired. He didn't want to deal with all this stuff. And now all of a sudden, he's got Jesus here wanting to use his boat, but he obeyed. You know, his day was done, and I'm guessing when they talk about cleaning the nets, that's something they probably did at the end of each daily excursion. They cleaned their nets and took care of them, because I'm sure their nets were, they depended on them for their livelihood, cleaning and repairing, I'm sure. And I imagine Peter wasn't in the boat at this time. He probably already had it tied up and then put away. But Jesus wanted to use Peter's boat. I mean, he could have done it other ways, but this was a logical way for him to reach the multitudes, is to get out on the water and get away from them so others in the back could see and hear him. So Peter did surrender his boat to be a place where Christ could speak from. And he surrendered some convenience. He's already done fishing. He was packing up. He was going home. Probably going to go home and celebrate the healing of his mother-in-law. Probably thought about that. Well, I better do what this Jesus wants. He's done so much for us. We can think about that when we're called to do something. Remember what he's done for us. And I'm sure he was tired. Other people would get tired after a full day's work. After you've been out on the combine for 12 hours or whatever, 14 hours, do you want to go back out there and fire it up again and drive a little further out in the field so somebody can preach from there? No, I don't think, no, we don't, Brett. But he did. He did. Peter did this, and I don't know if Peter had ever heard Jesus preach before. Maybe he had. But he was among those, I'm guessing, that wanted to hear what he had to say. And then going on to verses 4 and 5. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep." And this had to be another inconvenience. "And let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing." So not only had they worked all night, their night had been a failure as far as earning their living for the day. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. Now, and this is something I never thought of before, and I don't know if it means anything, but he writes, Jesus says, let down your nets for a catch. But Simon uses the singular. He let down the net. So does that mean that, well, I'm not going to get all those nets ready again? We'll go out and let one down. And up to this point, you know, Peter had been obedient. He'd been obedient in something that was fairly easy, just get in the boat and go out a ways. But now it's like, got to gather up my stuff again, and I got to get out. And, you know, Jesus is telling me to do this. I really don't want to do it, because what's the point? He'd probably been out in the same spot where Jesus took him to and had caught nothing. So he was risking comfort. He was risking, you know, the comfort of his own ideas and his own the things that he expected to happen. And this wasn't logical. He's been out there all night, and I'm guessing that maybe their fishing was done during the night. And now he wants him to go out again and again. He had put everything away. And this was not in his plans. He was going to go to his home and get some sleep. And this wasn't part of his schedule for the day. And it was a risk of, I don't know what the right word would be, maybe confidence, a risk of going out and doing something in which he had failed. He was not confident that any of this would happen. He would have to do something again, and he had just failed at it. And he'd have to do that while all this multitude is still there. He's got to go out there and everybody's watching. And it's there had to be a little bit of trepidation there. And it was also a risk of totally committing to what he had been asked to do. And says, launch out to the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Throw all your resources down at it. Do we throw all our resources into what we're called to do? And Peter also had to, in this matter, reveal his weakness, that he was not the word, maybe not good enough is not the right description, but his efforts hadn't been good enough. And he says, we have tried that all night. What you're telling us to do, we tried that all night. And we've done that before. And when we reject our fleshly efforts and trust God to work through us, then God will move. And Peter revealed his doubt, as I said before. The nets, the plural became singular. I will let down a net, or the net. And as I said before, Jesus said nets. And there's also a risk of being corrected by God. We might find out that we're actually wrong sometimes in our own thinking. And sometimes maybe we're called to go back to where we have failed before. And I'm not sure what that entails, but we can kind of learn that from this message. I know in my own life, and Gail can attest to this, I am not the most handy guy in the world. I'll go out and I'll start a project and it'll just be abject failure. And so you go in the house or get away from it for a while and cool off. And so I got to go back and try that again. And sometimes it's just that cooling off. So we have to be willing to revisit some of our failures and let God make the corrections. And you know, to the, as we read before in Corinthians, our belief to those who, like the Jew and the Gentile, to those who are perishing and don't know it, what we believe is foolishness to them. And it seems irrational. And this task to Peter seemed irrational. And Peter did comply, maybe not full of obedience and maybe somewhat grudgingly, but he did obey. And he probably just did what was enough to appease Jesus. And I know there's times that I may be guilty of that. We do just enough to get by. But then, as we'll see here, he did acknowledge Jesus' position, the right position of Christ, the Master. He acknowledged the command. At thy word, he was told what to do. Jesus had given him the task. And from that task was going to come a huge blessing. You know, and Peter had seen the miracle that Jesus performed in his house probably a few days earlier. But he probably didn't expect it to happen again. Have we ever had things happen in our lives? I can probably give a couple examples where that was a miracle. I don't know if anybody's, I've had a couple of instances where something totally unexpected happened that had to be more than a coincidence. And that might strengthen our faith for a little bit, but maybe like Peter is like, well, I don't expect something like that to happen to me or my family again. And then I'm going to finish reading the rest of that text, verses 6 through 11. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. And now later on here, we're going to see James and John were there. Maybe it was James and John's boat was the other one. I mean, there were things that happened during this event that that had I would say, far-reaching results. They begin to sink. Then Simon Peter saw it and fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. And through Peter's willingness and maybe halting of obedience, he was blessed greatly. I mean, he probably had a catch that was equal to how many days of fishing? We don't know. And when all this was happening, in verse 7, we see others got involved. Boy, we got to help Peter gather in all these fish. What a blessing. And maybe when they got involved, they were able to share in that abundance. But in Peter's own mind, before this happened, he thought he knew better. And we see in Peter's life that there are things that enter in this case, maybe the fact that Jesus asked him to go out again. It was like, and he had failed. Maybe he had didn't want his pride to be shattered. But Peter did comply, and others were watching. So Peter's compliance allowed others to see what Jesus could do. I mean, you know, Jesus maybe performed some of his first miracles in the presence of maybe just a few people. This one was done in the presence of a multitude. And one thing I saw here, I'm going to read it. I'm not sure who wrote this. We will never follow Christ to the fullest extent until we worry more about what he thinks about us instead of what others think about us. And do we believe God? Do we believe that he can act in our lives, not only our personal life, but the life of our congregation? Do we believe that God can work through us, or are we just doing, or do we do things by routine? Sometimes things can get kind of routine. We can kind of get in a bit of a rut. And I think Peter did resist, and sometimes we resist. We resist selling out totally and being totally obedient to God. But when God can work through us, amazing things can happen. And then verse 11, let's read. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. So this had made a real impact on the people in those boats. And just moments before, Peter was taking care of these nets and his boats, and that's not to say that we don't take care of our livelihood. And I mean we're called to be good stewards and to work and to achieve things, but we achieve them in ways that honor God, and that where God can shine through us as we do these things. But just moments before, Peter had been reluctant to go out there with his nets that he had just cleaned and the boat that he had probably put away for the day. And in that moment, after they brought their boats to land, he walked away from them. I don't know if Peter continued to be a fisherman later on, but that was not his main focus anymore. He was willing to leave all that behind. We know what Peter did. We know the result of Peter's ultimate obedience to Christ after the resurrection. I mean, between this instance and between the crucifixion of Christ, Peter wavered. I mean, we saw what happened the night of Jesus' arrest and how Peter denied him. I mean, Peter wasn't perfect. Peter in his earthly body was never perfect. Even after his restoration, after Christ's resurrection, but he was committed to Christ, and history tells us that he was committed unto death. And are we willing to sell out? Until we are willing to risk our thinking, a total submission to Christ, we will not see the provision he has for us. We see some fruit in our partial obedience. God gives us some, but what if we are obedient instead of skeptical? We will see God provide for us in a miraculous way only when we relinquish our own possessions and wills. And by relinquish, that means dedicate our possession and our will to him and launch out into the deep by faith. We must get out of the norm and trust God. If we will totally surrender to God, we will risk our own thinking for the working of the Almighty God. Are we willing to launch out into the deep? Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your word, and we are thankful again for each one who's here this morning. And I just pray now that as we close the service, that we will go forth from here invigorated and refreshed and ready to serve you through this coming week. And we just thank you again in your name. Amen. Our closing, oh, good hymn. Onward, Christian Soldiers, page 461.